Good morning. Again, please listen to our prayer for illumination. Draw us close, Holy Spirit, as the scriptures are read and the word is proclaimed. Let the word of faith be on our lips and in our hearts, and let all other words slip away. May there be one voice we hear today, the voice of truth and grace. Amen. First scripture lesson today comes from Psalm 16, 1 through 11, which is all of Psalm 16. Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the holy ones in the land, they are the noble in whom is all my delight. Those who choose another God multiply their sorrows. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names upon my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I keep the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure, for you do not give me up to Sheol or let your faithful ones see the pit. You show me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of John, where we hear Jesus' reappearance to the disciples and a familiar story of the disciple Thomas as he receives Jesus' evidence of resurrection. Let's hear John chapter 20. Verses 19 through 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And he said this. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw their Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven then. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered, "My Lord, my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have seen, have not seen, and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. These are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of our Lord. Now, as I've said, this morning we're launching into a new series, emerging from the season of Lent into the glorious season of Easter resurrection. We say it together, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. On Easter Sunday, I asked you to think about places where you've seen signs of resurrection life around you. as we're bound up in our homes, holding hope for the passage of this pandemic, we have the challenge of looking for hope and new life amidst the darkness, sadness, and loss. But thankfully, as the people of God, this is what we are prepared to do. We look for resurrection because we are assured that it is found all around us. Just like the disciples who were huddled in their homes out of fear, we are hunkered down, right? Yet the resurrection of Christ is not bound by walls or by our fear. Christ arrives in their midst, right among the disciples in their deepest despair. This morning, I want to explore one facet of resurrection life as we explore the story of the disciples' encounter with Jesus after Easter. That is abundance. As a people of the resurrection, we proclaim a number of powerful, yet counterintuitive and subversive aspects of what life is really about. In the resurrection, for instance, we proclaim that God provides abundantly for God's people. God's abundance in love, in signs and wonders, in joy and hope, is a sign of resurrection life living in us. Jesus shows the disciples three signs of resurrection in this passage that speak of the abundance in the resurrection life. First, the abundance of peace. Second, the abundance of presence. And third, the abundance of wonders. As we've shared our signs of resurrection life, I pray that we will resonate with and map upon our own lives the way Jesus shows up to his disciples and shares that resurrection life with them. So first we have the abundance of peace. I love that Jesus, as soon as he shows up, surprising his friends by arriving in their house where they were staying, offers them peace. The greeting of peace is exactly what the disciples need. With the doors locked, with all their fear, they need the calm, disarming word from their beloved Christ. This is not a birthday party where the host jumps out from hiding and says, "Surprise!" For a bunch of jumpy folks with cabin fever who've been hunkered down in fear, this is most definitely not what they need. They need peace. And Christ knows this abundantly well. Jesus enters this space of their and our fear and offers the abundant blessing of peace. The Greek word is eirene, and it is peace, safety, well-being, health, friendship, reconciliation, prosperity. It is, as the Hebrew people would say, shalom, the abundant state of rest that is beyond all worry. I say this is a mark of abundance because it pushes directly against what fear and concern lead us to: scarcity and hoarding and self-protection. Have we not witnessed the outcome of fears and worry in this time? How's your toilet paper stock these days? Or a little more hard to look at is, how's your portfolio doing? Or maybe simply, how are the cracks in your sanity from being homebound with your children and your partner for so long? Christ brings abundance of peace with him in the resurrection. More than we could imagine possible, peace which calms and brings a breath of rest to this moment of tension. Next, we find that Jesus brings abundance of presence. The disciples rejoice when he arrives, as verse 20:12 tells us. And you know what? I bet they were mostly happy because they thought that it meant he was back for good, back to set things right and finish the movement that he had started. Out of their worry and fear, there would have grown a deep desire to to go back to the way things were, the way that they were supposed to be headed. Jesus was supposed to be on the throne. The Romans were supposed to be overrun, the religious order set back to right. All made right with the risen Lord back in the place where he belonged as king. But in the resurrection life, we must also be ready to be surprised by the unfolding of new things that show up. Because Jesus doesn't come back to bring about his presence back to the table in order to just return things to how they were, to make the disciples and his movement great again. It was never meant to be great to begin with, not in the way that people expected it to be, at least. In the resurrection life, Jesus comes with a different kind of presence. And this abundance of presence is the gift of the Spirit, which sends forth disciples to now be the presence themselves. Jesus says a second time in verse 21, "Peace be with you." And he continues on to say, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." The second sign of resurrection life is that the disciples are now empowered by Christ's presence in their very breath. The Greek word for spirit is pneuma, which also means breath. The abundant presence of the Holy Spirit is now in their very breath. Think about it this way. Enclosed in their homes for fear and worry, doesn't it feel claustrophobic or too close, like there's not enough room to breathe? There again, we see that is a sign of death, of scarcity. So Jesus breathes upon them the abundant presence of the Spirit, hyper-present everywhere, as ubiquitous as life and breath themselves. For people who encounter the resurrection life, we also begin to see it and breathe it everywhere. It becomes so easy to witness, like the breath of God's name in our lungs. And not only does Jesus breathe the Spirit into the tight rooms of our lives, Jesus breathes the Spirit's presence so that it might send us out into the world, empowered to discover that presence everywhere. Which leads us to our third sign of resurrection, the abundance of wonders. Now you may say, sure, all well and good. It's easy enough to show up into a room and say peace. That doesn't mean much. And sure, you can breathe on me, although I'd rather you not, and share your presence with me. And sure, that's nice. But what does it really show? Enter Thomas. I like Thomas. I like his doubt. I like how he's late to the game and doesn't buy what the other disciples are spreading. At least not without something more. He needs proof. He needs signs. He needs wonders. So some time passes and Thomas is still sitting with this dissonance that he feels. He isn't sure that he buys what everyone else is talking about. I love the materiality of Thomas. He needs real, material, tactile, earthy, bodily confirmation of this abundance, of this resurrection life. So once more, Jesus shows up to bring the resurrection life, this time to our friend Thomas. Again, with the greeting of peace be with you. Do you feel Jesus's quiet confidence here? He's not rattled by Thomas's doubt. He brings calm and strength and love And then he does what we all long for him to do. He shows us the real. He shows Thomas his scars. He shows Thomas the marks in the physical material world that make this abundance move and breathe and have peace of something more real, evidence-based, peer-reviewed, tested, tried, and true. Isn't that what so many of us need? Don't be discouraged by Jesus' final words. Blessed are those who have come, to me. Blessed are those who have seen and yet have come. Let me try one more time. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. We need confirmation. We are the ones, friends, who have not seen the scars. And yet we are offered an abundance of wonders in our lives and in the world that show us signs of resurrection. You all just shared a bunch of them. Flowers and sunshine and blossoms and fellowship and ducks and walks in the park and smiling faces that you love and dancing and artwork and homemade feasts and laughter over internet phone calls and the spaciousness of less cluttered days, and finding the true belonging to one another through our distance. These are the abundant wonders of the resurrection life. As people who seek to live the resurrection life, we are sent into the world, both physically and in seasons like this virtually, to go and discover these wonders and share about them. That is what bearing witness means. The people of God encounter the resurrection life in peace, in presence, and in wonder. And then we share about it. We point to it and say, look, here life is breaking through. Look here, Jesus is at work in the world. So where will we discover God's abundance this week? Our call is to familiarize ourselves with that peace and presence and wonder, like the disciples did. We need to know what it is we're looking for. So my challenge to you this week, once again, is to look for signs of resurrection that are all around you. Where do you see that peace, that presence, and that wonder? And will you share it? With each other, for sure, but also with the ones in your lives who need it most. The ones who feel despair right now. The ones who are lonely, sick, hungry. That's the deal, friends. To be the good news is to be people who acknowledge resurrection life, and then to take it to others in love and support. Through compassionate service and loving presence and joyful worship and faithful care, we do this so that all may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, all may have life in his name. So friends, this week, may the peace, the presence, and the wonder of the resurrection be with you. Let us pray. Holy God, we ask that you would give us the eyes to see, and the ears to hear these places and people and words and songs and visions of your peace and presence and wonder, of your resurrection life all around us. Open us up to be receptive to that breath that you breathe upon us. And then, Lord, send us. Send us to be the ones who share this with the world, who speak of good news in the face of all that it feels so scary, worrisome, to be that resurrection life ourselves, empowered by your Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.